I know Lisa didn't want to ask, take a poll, and I thought, well, that's great, because I had that in my notes. I was just curious. No. I know you're wanting Cincinnati. Drew is hoping Cincinnati wins. He's got his Cincinnati sweatshirt on today. And then Rams back here. We got a little – all right, all right. So they're going to have fight that out after church today, apparently. And I was going to put some decor up here for football stuff, and I didn't get around to that. And I like football. I've been following this year, and I know that between the Bengals and the Rams, you've got two really good, very competitive teams that are playing this evening, and that looks like it should be a pretty good game. And they're fairly equal, I think, and so they're scrappy, you know, and they'll fight for the win, and it's just a lot of fun, again, to watch. And what's been so fun for me to watch as I've caught off and on glimpses of them playing is that they perform when they are clicking. They perform at such a high level with all these different players and so on doing their part. And it's just impressive to watch and see what they're able to accomplish. And they can almost just sort of impose their will up and down the field. So it should be interesting tonight, and should be a fun game to watch. If you like football, if not, enjoy something else. It's all good. Enjoy the commercials. Yeah, right? Yeah, there you go. So today what I'm going to talk about is this idea that I think there's somewhat of a similarity between a championship football team and the church. I couldn't resist. I'm like, I got to go there because today is Super Bowl Sunday. And so I got to thinking about it, and I was thinking about how when you think about a championship football team or really any good sports team, that the people on the team do their part, right? So they do their part. And if you look at a team, you often will see that there are so many players on the sideline who are hired. Let's pick an NFL team, right? So these guys are getting paid to play a game. Not bad. So they've got a team on the sideline. You've got people from different positions playing offense and defense and special teams, and you've got the – every time I say the Water Boys, I can't think of the movie, but I just won't leave my mind. But anyway, just they're giving out high-quality H2O. I'll leave it at that. And then you've got coaches for offense, defense, special teams. You're not going to hear a word else I say today after I just said that. It'll be in your head, I promise you. And they've got strength and conditioning coach and team, and they have a head coach and assistant coaches, and they just have so many. You just look at the sideline, and I saw one of the teams has a guy whose responsibility is just to make sure the coach doesn't run out onto the field, you know, and he goes with him, and he grabs his belt, and he pulls him back, you know, so he doesn't get in trouble with the refs on the field. And I'm thinking, how do you get that job? Like, that's crazy. That's fun. And then you've even got all the office staff that you don't even see on the field. They work in the office, and you have the general manager who's responsible for hiring all these people to put together all these positions and coaches and everything to build a winning football team. So much. So much. All these different roles. All the specialties. All the different backgrounds, people from all different walks of life converging together. It's pretty spectacular. And the entire organization is counting on every single person in that organization to do their part. You do your part. Many of you know I'm a University of Alabama fan, and good or bad, whatever. But one of the things that I've picked up from their, because it gets said all the time, from their coach is believe in the process. In other words, do your part. And as you do your part and you work within the system, trust that the outcome will take care of itself. You do the best of your part in the process, and you trust that if you do your best and everybody else around you does their part, that in the end, the outcome will take care of itself, because you can't control the outcome. You can only control what you put in. There's a lesson in life right there. Well, that's it. We're done. And I heard the ding, so I guess we're done. And I have something else. I just thought of it. I want to share with you. I know the jokes don't get better. Sorry on that. So, I think the football team is not a whole lot different than the body of Christ in that regard, what we call it is the church, that in fact, I believe God uses a very similar philosophy in the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, and there's a series of verses, verse 4 through 7, and verses 11 through 14, Paul writes about how the Holy Spirit has given the body of Christ, the family of God, right? Because that's what we were saying about today. I'm a child of God, a part of the family of God. The Holy Spirit gives the body of Christ, the family of God, unique, what we call spiritual gifts that are for different, right? So different purposes. They do different roles. They're unique. Each one is a little bit unique. And sometimes you'll see different people have the same gifts, and then sometimes you'll see people have really one dominant gift, and you go, wow, that's really obvious, and then other ones alongside of it, and then folks that you'll see all of a sudden when the need demands it, that the Spirit of God provides the ability to use that spiritual gift that maybe they didn't have before, and I don't know how God does all that, I just know that He does all of that. Experience has shown me that that's how God works, just like it is saying in Scripture. And God gives those, the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is God. And so the Holy Spirit gives those gifts with a goal in mind. There's a purpose behind it, and that is to build up the body of Christ, to make the church stronger together as a community, as a family, as we serve each other with those gifts. And when we use those gifts in areas that align with our shape, like when I say shape, I mean like our heart and our abilities and our personality and experiences in life and the skills and the talents that some of us have that we bring from just the world itself, and we bring those in, and when we use those in conjunction with spiritual gifts, what I've seen is that the church is so greatly blessed through all of that. I'm going to give you an example of this. And so I've picked a few people from the church, kind of at random, just things that I'm thinking about. And one of those is our Cincinnati buddy over here, Drew. So a couple weeks ago, I was running the marathon in Gulf Shores. And so I was so blessed to have, get a little feedback here. If you could bring that down a little bit, please. I was so great that Drew stepped in the pulpit and did a wonderful job, didn't he? He did a wonderful job bringing the gospel. And so thanks, brother. Yeah. And I've gotten the opportunity over the months to talk and have conversation with Drew. And one of the things I've learned about Drew and I appreciate is that I believe this dude has a gift of evangelism. This guy so easily can take a conversation and just turn it to talk about Jesus with just ease, and is able to just effortlessly almost to do this. And it's just tremendous. Doesn't think twice about it. He loves it. It's just his head, his brain, his heart is just thinking that way, right? It's wonderful. I was thinking about our elder chair, Butch Harper. I don't know if Butch, would you just do me a favor, just stand up in case anybody here today. Sorry, he is standing. He said that first, not me. And Butch Harper is the chair of our elder board currently right now, and thank you for doing that. One of the things that I've learned about Butch is that he has this ability to be able to take processes and things that we're working on, and to be able to think through the different parts of that and to administrate that so that it can go from point A to point B, and think of the right people to be put in the right places to make this happen. He just seems to have a knack for doing that. He does that well. I was also thinking of somebody that I have an opportunity to work with quite a bit, and multiple folks in this congregation would fit this role as well, but I don't know if anybody knows Ann Helsley. One of the things that I've noticed about Ann is that Ann has this ability to recognize what needs help, and to say, like for me, to be able to say, hey, can I take this off your plate? I could do this well. And so let me serve you by taking that off your plate so you don't have to do that, because I can do that, so you can focus on doing something different. And I'm like, I love it. It's like you read my mind. Right? Okay, yeah. I think it's pretty cool. I love it. And then I think our pastor has this gift of leadership and teaching. Now, don't tell him, because I don't want him to get a big head or nothing. And so what I found is that my experience has been that when these gifts are working together, when I'm working with them and they're working with me, that we complement each other quite nicely. Because I'm not a fantastic administrator, and it does not come as easily for me as it does for Drew to share the gospel in Jesus just with a normal conversation. Whoop! It's just effortless. Like, it doesn't. The things that they do well, and so many of you do also, I don't do as well as you. And when you're doing your part, it helps me to do my part better, and it helps us all to move the ball forward, right? If you say, right, to advance the mission of the church. It's so critically important. You do not, I don't think you realize, many of you, how much you have helped me to be freed up to do works of ministry here that I know we've been needing to do. But I had to do some other stuff that has to get done. And you stepped in and you said, well, I can take on, let me do some of that. I can work that. Pastor, I got it. And it's been wonderful because that's freed me up to focus on more of leadership and more teaching. And I've loved it. You guys have been helping me. He's like, well, it wasn't necessarily, that wasn't the name, you know, the idea, but I'm glad to know it did. And I say, yeah, it did. And I want to say thank you, church. Thank you so much. You blessed me. And I hope that I'm able, through my gifts, to be a blessing to you and to what we're doing together, because that's what I want to have happen. So I thought, what do we do with this? I got an idea. And that is that we're making... we're going to make available to everybody a tool that will help you if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are. Maybe you've never really thought about that. And it's like, well, how do I even figure that out? Or how do I get an idea of that? It's called an assessment, but it's a tool that you can take and answer questions, and it helps to steer you to explore what they possibly might be. It's not the be-all and end-all, right, to say this is it exactly. But to get you to be thinking about, well, that could kind of make sense. That might be. And then you can think, well, how can I use that? Well, that's coming shortly. So hold on for a second. Hold that thought, all right? Let me go back to football because it just feels good because I like it. But, yeah, so does the gospel, but I'm just being honest. In the NFL, right, everyone has one goal. If you're familiar with football and mostly any sport, but what is the one goal of every single team and every player and coach and staff on any team in the NFL? What is the goal? It's to win, and to win enough times that it will take you where? To the Super Bowl, to the championship game, right, where you can sort of, if you will, sort of be world champions, right? Absolutely. And the Cincinnati Bengals have been trying to get back to the Super Bowl, I think, since 1989. Did I get that right? 88, 89, that season? Yeah. And they have been training, and they've been practicing and having meetings and long hours and sacrificing and just everything, working so very hard. And everybody has their part. We've already established that. But there's something I notice is that everyone is in it to win it. That the culture of the teams is that we seize the moments. Whatever the moment is in front of you, you don't waste it. And if the team needs help, then you're like, whoop, sign me up. What do? You know, it's like, hey, I'm here. I'm step in. I'm willing to help and do whatever you need because I want to help the team get the win. It's all about the win. I believe that championship teams don't get hung up on saying, that's not my job. I'm not good at that, so I'm not going to do that. That's not what I'm trained in, so I'm not going to do that. That's what they're getting paid to do, so they do it. I get paid to do something else, right? You know, okay. But championship teams, they ask a different question, and they say, how can I help our team get the win? Because it's about the win. I know. It's like, that's a lot of football talk. Can we please talk about the church? And so, absolutely. So, here you go. How many of you know the Great Commandment? You might know the Great Commandment? Absolutely. I know a lot of you do. You just don't think about it. So let me just read this here on the screen. And pay attention. It's something we do. When you study the Bible, when you read a passage of Scripture, look. Sometimes you look and see, are there words that are repeated? And that's often a clue that those are important words that you want to pay attention to. So look at the Great Commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. So when I look at that verse, I notice that there's a few words, there's three specifically, that are repeated. Love. Love what? Love the Lord your God and also love your neighbor. Also look at that and it says your. Your God, your heart, your soul, your mind, your neighbor. But also the word all. Right? You see that? All. It's about loving. It's about you loving with the entirety of all that you have and all that you are, all that you own, every gift that you have, every skill, every talent, every dollar. You crossed the line when you talk about money. Yeah, I know. But everything that you have, everything, all of it matters. It's all on the table. And even though you're shaped to do some things better than others, hey, the truth is that you're willing to do all you can for God's glory. For me, I believe that's where Jesus is getting at when he says that the church picks up her cross and carries it. In other words, that the followers of Jesus pick up their cross and carry it. In the Gospel of Luke 9, verse 23, the Lord says, all who want to come after me must say no to themselves and pick up their cross daily and follow me. That is not one of the church's favorite verses. It's really not, because it leads us to thinking about, does Jesus saying that there are times where I have to do things that I'm uncomfortable with as far as that's not my strong suit, or I don't know what to say, but yet I feel like I need to be in a conversation with somebody and talk about Jesus. Maybe it's an opportunity to share the gospel and I'm not exactly sure what to say, or maybe I'll have to go without so that somebody else can be blessed, but I was wanting that and now I'm going to not have it. And I'd rather spend time doing this for fun, but yeah, I feel like the Lord wants me to stop and pray for somebody. That I may have to sacrifice and go without so that the mission of Christ is advanced in the world. Yeah, sometimes you have to pick up, well, you always do, but pick up your cross and carry it. And those are times I find when the opportunities in front of us tend not to align with our gifts and our skills and our passions, and those tend to be challenging moments for us because we realize this is an awkward kind of place to be in. I'd rather be somewhere that aligns with something I think I can do well, and I don't think I can do this well, but it seems like God put me in this moment to do this or to say this or to be with this person in that moment. And how we handle those moments, for me, is the difference between a mediocre church and a championship church. How we handle those moments is, I think, the difference between a mediocre church and a championship-type church. Because I believe championship-type churches see the challenges in front of them like a champion would do and doesn't run away from them, but looks at them and steps into them, engages them with faith and the power of the Holy Spirit and says, I trust the Lord for the outcome, even though it looks like this is greater than what I could do on my own. Mediocre says, that's not my job. But a championship type church says, I want to do all I can. Why? Because I believe that the win is worth the work. That the mission is worth the investment. that the hope of somebody discovering Jesus is worth me stepping out of my comfort zone in order to take advantage of the moment and talk about Jesus, even though, where's Drew? Because he could do this a whole lot better than me. Maybe let me call him and see if he's available. I was in church one day, and this has happened to me more than once. I was in a church service, and the church service ended, and there was, sometimes it's hurting people that are at church, right? Which is wonderful. It's a great place to be. And afterwards, I had somebody, actually a couple somebodies, bring a person to me and said, Pastor, this person is hurting. We wanted to bring them to you so that you could pray for them. And I did. And I'm like, happy to do that. That is fantastic. And then afterwards, it was a different conversation. Thank you for bringing them to me. You know you didn't have to do that, right? You could have very easily also ministered hope through prayer and healing and the gospel that you know and that Jesus has real to you, shared that truth with this person who is hurting. You can do that just as well as I can. You don't need me to do that. God needs you to do that because you are the body of Christ. For all of us are called to love our neighbors, not take them to your pastor so that they can do something special that you can't. Mm-mm. I can't do anything more special than anybody else. I'm just a follower of Jesus. I just happen to get up here and ramble every Sunday for however long. And I pinch myself because I can't believe I get to be your pastor and to do this week in and week out. And that was part of what just blessed my heart this morning. I can't believe I get to go to New Hope and do this morning. And I'm being honest. I'm not trying to like win your hearts like that. Truly. I literally stopped on the sidewalk when I walked out of the building, took in that cold breath of fresh air, and it just hit me. This is a good day. This is a good place to be in right now. It makes me think of Isaiah thinking about we do all we can. The Lord needed someone to tell Judah, get your act together and quit being a fool. Not exactly like that, but you need to repent and come back, right? Get right with God. And so in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, God says, well, who shall we send? Now, the we is the Godhead. So Isaiah, I love it, says, ooh, 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 ooh. Pick me, I'll go. He says, here I am, Lord, send me. I love that because there wasn't anything in Isaiah that qualified him for what God had invited him to do. It was just simply that he was willing to do all he could in partnership with what God wanted to do. And in that willingness, God blessed it and it blessed his people. And that's the same thing that happens in the church when we say, I'm willing to do all I can to help the church spread the gospel of Jesus. And when that happens, the Lord blesses the work of the church. When people use their gifts to help build up and make the church stronger, it helps us, yes, to become stronger, but to advance the mission together. So we all kind of go together. The Holy Spirit does that, and we grow in our faith as we do that. We said we grow in our spirituality. We grow in our faith. We grow in the character of Christ. And for me, what it comes down to is simply the heart of saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll use what you've given me. Yes, Lord, I'll go where you send me. Yes, Lord, I'll say what you need me to say. I mean, I might mess it up pretty bad, but I'll give it my best. It's just simply saying, yes, Lord. Whatever it is, really, at the end of the day, wherever we find ourselves, an opportunity is sitting in front of us. I don't care if you're in high school or you're a grown adult or you're a grandparent or you're a kid in school. It doesn't matter.
The Lord is not a respecter of persons of age and size and race and gender and all of that stuff. The Lord doesn't look at the things man looks at. The Lord looks at the heart. He says, I've called you. You go. Will you go? Because I'm not going to make you go, but I'm inviting you to go. Will you go? For me, I believe obedience to Christ is simply, it's in the right now, living with a yes, Lord, attitude and mindset. It's not about going to church every Sunday and saying, I know God's pleased with me. Because you can go to church every Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, you cannot listen to the Lord and try to be obedient to the Lord, and Sunday's irrelevant then. Because it's not about the Sunday, it's about every day. It's about me doing what I can with what I have, where I am, when the moments that present themselves, to be obedient to Christ, that in Christ in me is glorified by the life that I live daily. So the conversations become important when I'm at work. The conversations we have with our kids become important because the mission matters in the moment, and the win with our kids is worth the work. We can say, I'm tired. I don't want to handle this. I don't want to deal with this. I don't blah, blah. But I know, I get it, right? Like, I've worked all day. The last thing I want to do is sit down here and have a conversation where I have to really think about what I'm saying so I can point my child to the truth in Jesus. How do they handle what's going on in life? How do they respond to this? Okay, so I'm going to have to give and then some. So, Lord, give me the strength to give and then some. Because I know that the win is worth the work. And I want to do all I can to see the win for you come to pass in my kid's life down the road, if not even in the moment. Lord, help me. I want to be ready at any moment to share the reason for the hope that I have, 1 Peter 3:15. And what I find, much like Jeremiah and Isaiah and Jonah and so many others, that those moments, they don't always tend to come when we're refreshed and woo, ready to go. I find that oftentimes they come when we maybe have been distracted, when we are tired, when we are run down, when we are worried about something, when we are stressed, when we feel anxiety rising in us because of something that's happening around us. And those are the deep moments when we, by faith, listen and remember Jesus saying, pick up your cross and carry it. Do what I did. Walk like me. Not like an Egyptian. Walk like me. If I did it and you do it in my name, I promise you I'll give you the strength to carry it. And if in God's strength I was victorious over death, then I promise you that in my name, you too will be victorious when it's all said and done. Did I got you bought in? I hope so. And I thought, well, what am I going to do with this? What do we do with this? I got an idea. So what we are going to do, I'm looking forward to it. So March the 6th is our next Sunday family dinner. And we're going to have a ministry fair. It escaped me for a second, and I got it back. We're going to have a ministry fair where our key ministries are going to put together a little display, and they're going to have some highlights of the ministry and what it's like to volunteer in that ministry, and what do they do, and what kind of gifts are helpful in that ministry to have, you know, all that kind of thing. And we're going to make that available. So we'll have stuff set up so that during lunch that Sunday, during our dinner, that you can look at that, we can talk about that, we may even have them just give a quick little pitch, just kind of let you know, because I know that as, you know, more and more families that, you know, we're not here 12 months ago, don't know about all the ministries and what do they do and how, what would I do if I volunteered in that and what would be required of me and so on. So that's a hopefully be a great way to say, here's a way that you can do your part and do all you can to help our church continue this track of being what I believe is a championship type church. I believe that is New Hope. This is not a mediocre church. This is a championship type church. And that's the expectation that we have of each other, is that we are in it to win it. And the win is worth the work, because the mission of Christ matters. That's what we've been called to do. And we'll do it with love. Love for God and love for other people. And we'll do it serving Christ through the church. Because we believe the church is the great vessel that shares the character of Christ with the world. And we embrace that. And we're looking for all sorts of people from all different walks of life to be a part of that journey with us. Say yes to Jesus and yes to the journey. He's on. He's ready to go. Even for the youngest ones, we got them ready to roll. They're excited. I love it. I love it. So I'll close with saying this, that we need your gifts, to spiritual gifts, to make us stronger. We need your help for the harvest. And we need you so that we can carry out our mission of making disciples of Christ who love, grow, and serve. We need you. Will you say yes? Father, I thank you for the question in front of us today, that will we give all we can and do our part with the gifts you give us and all the things that we have and who we are to love you and love others and to share the good news of Jesus with the world, to be a church family, a body, a community that will be a family for other families and will point the world to the love of Jesus Christ, who can change and transform lives and give hope where there is despair and light where there is darkness. Father, we believe that Jesus is the hope of the world, and we want to be a part of what you're doing today to share that hope in Warrick County and beyond. So thank you for this day. Thank you for the invitation and the freedom to say, here I am, Lord, send me.